headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnick, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Pepe will look back on the extremely disappointing 1-0 defeat to Sligo Rovers in the second round of the UEFA Conference League. We'll look ahead to Thursday's second leg in Ireland, and we'll discuss the future of Graeme Alexander, who is now under a great deal of pressure in his role. How you doing, mate?
All good. Just this is probably the first day that I've even been able to think about the football in a kind of semi-positive light and started to look forward to Thursday, but I think your description there of it being extremely disappointing was, it could be intense, that description could be intensified 10 times over.
Yeah, it was a shocking performance on a night where the fans turned up in big numbers. There was that kind of enthusiasm that you only get from these big European nights at Fir Park. It was, there was excitement levels there, definitely. I think we were all really looking forward to it. And from minute one, we just didn't get going. Sligo could have been ahead within the first 30 seconds. They did take the lead after a really poor error from Bevis Mugabe. In the second half, they've got a great shout for a penalty when Jake Carroll appears to handle on the goal line. There was also a really good chance for the boy Mata that they brought on from the bench as well. Really, we could actually have been looking at a real deficit to have to claw back. We're kind of fortunate that it is only 1-0.
I think that we were unfortunate as well. There was a couple of times where, on another day, we could have scored, which would have changed the flow of the game. The first couple of minutes where Morris is through and the keeper makes a relatively easy save, but it could have went anywhere. There's a couple of shots outside the box. All it needed was a wee kind of deflection. It was in the one for Connor Shields. Now, these are all kind of first half. There was a header in the second half. So if any of these had went in, it could have been a different game. But we don't work off ifs, buts and maybes. That being said, the chances that you've described for Sligo were far more. They should have put at least one more away. The goal that they take, I mean, I don't know if this makes it even worse, the fact that the boy who scored it was previously at Falkirk and he scored that kind of a low amount of goals, and he comes into a full, kind of relatively full Fir Park, and that's the kind of calibre of player we're playing against. But they just showed you that we were up against it. The positives that I'm taking from the game, not from the game itself, but with a similar result against Clonethly when we played the game at Airdrie, and we managed to get ourselves a shake and go to Wales and score the goals that were required and pretty early on as well. So it's maybe just a typical way of doing it the hard way. I'm just glad that on Wednesday night I was close to booking flights to Prague. Just to take that gamble, and I'm just relieved that I didn't. For the, as you look at it now, I mean, Prague doing nothing each with Viking, and we are 1-0 down, so the odds is going to Prague are firmly against us. So I'm glad that I saved myself a couple of quid, or I'd have been a few days in Prague for no apparent reason.
Yes, yeah, I'd certainly be leaving it till later on in Thursday night to make any sort of decision when it comes to that. What about the kind of lack of you did mention that we had a number of half chances. Graeme Alexander said in his post-match that we created over 20 chances, which I don't really believe to be the case. I thought we, at times, lacked that wee bit of ingenuity to kind of cut open Sligo. They're going to do the exact same on Thursday night. They're going to sit in, they've got a lead to defend, and then they'll hope to hit us in the counter, as they did to good effect at Fir Park. Kevin Van Veen made the starting 11, as we sort of alluded to that he would do. We've heard so many lines been spun by Graeme Alexander when it comes to players' fitness. He hadn't trained up until the Wednesday before the game, but he still made the starting 11. I thought that he looked off the pace, to be honest with you. He lacked that sharpness that he became quite renowned for last season. And then the midfield as well, really, really static for me. The central three of Maguire, Slattery and Blair Spittle struggled to make a great impact in the game. It was really, really flat. As you say, another day, maybe you take one or two of these half chances. We didn't really offer much in terms of creativity.
Well, I'll just go back to what we discussed last week in relation to the importance of a player like Kevin Van Veen. If he isn't 100%, then there isn't really a plan B. If you look at the rest of our forward line, I would say that they're all wide players. In saying that, I don't know if Shields would be better suited in playing. I've always said I would like Muller to play a 4-4-2, and I think we've now got a kind of adequate left-sided midfield, right-sided midfield. So that would be Morris playing in the left of midfield, Spittle in the right with Maguire and Slattery in the middle. I think the problem that we've got in the midfield, when we're saying that they didn't offer much, I've not really got much faith in Jake Carroll. And then the forward three just didn't seem to connect. So it was difficult for the middle three. I thought Maguire put loads of running, loads of energy. Again, his final ball wasn't great. Same as Slattery. Spittle just didn't think looked the same kind of player that he did against Partick Thistle, but we're not going to judge him on that. I think that the 4-3-3 is part of the problem, that all you need to do now is look at Motherwell. There doesn't appear to be a plan B, so other teams know how to set up against this pretty. They can set up the now and say this is what they're going to do. And with the personnel that we've got, there's not going to be any change. And I know we're going to go on to talk about the manager, and I think that I've been one of his biggest supporters. But that's quickly changing round, and I'll get into the reasons of that more so. But one positive that I did take for the game was that I thought that Josh Morris looked not the complete player, but he looked as if he wanted to get involved. There was times where he was meant to be part of the front three, and it was back in defence, he was in the midfield trying to pick up the ball. And although things didn't come off for him, he couldn't fault his effort. Now, I know that you say I would go out and give 100%, but I definitely think he looked as if there's a better player in there. And that's one of the few things that was positive. I thought McGinn looked pretty solid at right back without doing anything spectacular. But that offers another question. What is the situation with Stephen O'Donnell? He's the club captain, Scottish international. Yet, it doesn't seem to be part of the picture. I know that the club haven't announced the captains and whatnot for next season, but that's another argument away from what happened on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I really don't understand the O'Donnell situation at all. And that's kind of carries on from the Partick Thistle friendly, where he didn't feature at all either. It seems like Graeme Alexander's made his mind up on him, and he's not a player that he's going to be using on a regular basis. The The other kind of frustrating element for me was the amount of times you mentioned Morris having to come back into the midfield or even dropping into the defence at points. That was the kind of the pedestrian nature of our play. We were needing players to come back and try and make something happen because there was just a lack of a spark up top. The amount of times the ball goes back to Ricky Lamy and he's just punting the ball aimlessly up towards Kevin Van Veen, and it clearly wasn't working. It was really, really frustrating to watch. I thought Jake Carroll, towards the end, was playing at half pace. When you're looking for your fullbacks, especially in the latter stages of a game, when you're playing opposition that you would have anticipated would have tired. But we didn't really pose them any problems late on. Kind of huffed and puffed. We got our 5 minutes of injury time, but I didn't really feel like we could have scored. It just didn't feel like it was coming at any point, and that obviously turned out to be the case. Is there kind of cause for concern in terms of the centre-back pairing as well? Bevis McGabby obviously makes a mistake for the first goal. I think if we had sat here this time last year and said we're going to have Bevis McGabby and Ricky Lamy as our two first-choice centre-backs, I'd have been pretty concerned. And I don't know if I'm really that much more confident now going into this season. Obviously, Lamy had an excellent end to last season and played a big role in securing a European place. But neither of them filled me with a great deal of confidence, it must be said.
Well, I listened to the manager. I think it was maybe, I can't remember if it was pre or post Austria, but I think it was after Austria. And he said that the goals conceded ratio wasn't good enough last season. The mistakes that we've made, we've done a lot of work to rectify it. But for me, to change a defence, you need to change your personnel. But you can't do that when you're given, I know Nathan McGinley's not featured so far this season, but he was one of the biggest culprits of errors, in my opinion. Was given a 2-year contract. Bevis, don't get me wrong, we were all happy when he signed the contract, but I've went through full 360. I think I'm at 180 now again, right enough, because he does have a bomb scare in him, and he seems to do it right at the wrong moment. We gave him a 2-year contract. Ricky Lamy, who wasn't the most popular but had a good end to the season, was given a 2-year contract, and then you've got O'Donnell out the picture. And we've signed McGinn. I don't think that's not even mentioning Saul, Svendre Johansson and Oyala. For me, I'd be surprised if he kicks another ball for Motherwell. There's a few times where I'll have kind of close proximity to DL partner went by and I've seen him kind of training on his own, kind of just doing running around the pitch, and it looks as if he's towing a bin lorry with a caravan and a bus. It just looks unfit. So I think I don't know, maybe I'm miles off it, but I just don't think that he'll feature, and I don't think that he'll ever be fit enough for this level and this intensity at the stage of his career. So we're sitting there now with all these centre halves, and you're right. The pairings would be McGabby and Lamy, which then adds questions into Graham Alexander's recruitment.
The question about being fully prepared has been raised quite a lot of times over the last couple of days. Two pre-season friendlies, one against a team of a real inferior calibre in Austria, and then a game against Partick Thistle, the Championship. Not many players having played more than a game and a half, essentially, as preparation for a European fixture. It certainly came back to bite us. I think it was evident that Sligo were considerably sharper than we were on Thursday night. Now, it might be the case that we're playing games behind the scenes and the closed-door friendlies, but there's certainly not been any kind of reports of that. How can you address that issue in a week where it doesn't look like we'll have played any games in between?
I think that you add in the recruitment to that as well. If you look at what, when we start a season, the most important thing for Motherwell is we don't get relegated. I think everybody would be in agreement to that. That's the first thing. The next thing is to finish as high up the league as we possibly can. But when you're given the caveat or the carrot dangled in front of you, Europe, I mean, you see what the difference in prize money is. Surely we should be in a position where we've got the squad as near complete as possible. Now, I understand they might be saying, right, we should get by Sligo, as I thought. So that would give us that wee bit extra budget, but we need to wait to find out what we're doing, rather than having the players there at that particular time. In relation to the pre-season, they've obviously went to Austria, as you described them, a kind of inferior team who still managed to score against us. But listen, it's just, it's easy to say I've never felt like this as a Motherwell fan. I've been watching Motherwell for the best part of kind of 30 odd years, and there's been definitely been worse times than this, the Morris Malpass. But I do see a lot of fans saying, no, this is the worst team that have watched at Fir Park. And it's not just one or two that's saying that. And it's easy to say that at the current time, because you can say that after the next poor spell whenever a new manager comes in. But there's definitely a real source of kind of a negativity surrounding the stadium. And I think once that starts, then other areas start to get questioned. Like, say, is the Welsh Society working? It just puts a whole negative spin on it. And what's really poor, from my point of view, is that usually the first game of the season, everybody's kind of up for it and excited. See, if you go and get put out of the Europa, it's honestly, I'll be absolutely, I can't go on Sunday because I've got my team's got a tournament on Sunday, but the excitement levels are down in the ground if we don't do it on Thursday.
Yeah, I think also there's a kind of element of it not feeling like we've had a pre-season, maybe because we've been used to these League Cup group games in past seasons, so you've normally had four games under your belt there. But it feels like the season's just kind of ended and now suddenly we're back. There hasn't been any kind of in between. And that kind of still applies to the recruitment, to the lack of fixtures as well. It just doesn't feel like that was a team on Thursday night that are anywhere near ready for competitive action. And you add into the mix then the fact that Graeme Alexander said it takes you up to half a dozen games to be anywhere near fully ready. So to only have played two is unforgivable. I know that there's been situations with games being cancelled and so on and so forth, but we had to replace these games. There's no way that we should have been going in to a European fixture, which is worth a couple of £100,000 to the football club, underprepared. And I really do believe that that has been the case. It's been a real bugbear of mine over the summer as well, that we've brought in three new faces. Every one of them, I would say, is in a position that didn't need filled. We had much greater need than other positions, but we've not addressed those issues. It's poor recruitment, and it's poor preparation, and it's really, really bitterness.
You know, see the whole thing with the recruitment, and I hate jumping back to this, but if you lose a player that scored 9 goals and from the start of the season to Christmas, and you replace that player with Jordan Roberts, who, all right, scored 2 goals, what do you expect to happen? Do you know what I mean? And then we're now getting to the stage where we're days away from St Mirren, first game of the season. and we've still not replaced them. And if anything, we've lost the replacement and we've lost Woolery. I don't stand for Morris playing as part of that front three because he's, I know that he's done it before, but his preference is to play in midfield. So everything that you're saying, I actually sat tonight and thought, right, I can't go on and be completely negative because people that are listening don't want to be even more depressed with football than what we've got. But how do you put a positive light in this? I mean, even this is going to probably be one of the most negative things that I've said, but even if we go and get through in Thursday night, there's still a big, the excitement of the next leg. But my concern is that, again, it's peeping over the cracks and we're in for another shitey season. That's what my thought process was on Thursday, that the season hasn't even started yet and I'm kind of dreading it. Starting, that shouldn't be somebody as dedicated as much love for Motherwell as what I do. Shouldn't be feeling like that. If it wasn't for my wee boy, I don't think I would have been as positive. Even I was looking forward to it as much because he keeps me going and he makes sure he's the number one fan and whatever. And I just wish I had his enthusiasm, but I suppose that comes with age, doesn't it?
It's tough over a course that, we're looking ahead here to 38 league games. Given what we've been served up since Boxing Day of last year, it is understandable that the supporters are losing patience. No, we don't expect to be Barcelona every week and tiki-taka football, but some semblance of quality would be nice. We've just not got that for so long. It's been dire. And the thing is, it's a difficult one because it's so often as mentioned as well, Alexander's got some credit in the bank with a fifth place finish last season, but it's hard to argue that was really merited in terms of, and again, that's someone will jump on in that and say, well, you can't fluke it over 38 games of the season. I just never really felt that we were anywhere near decent in the second half of the season. We're very fortunate that we got off to a good start. But that's, again, another factor that we need to consider here. We've got what I would say is a relatively decent start to the campaign, where we've got games in there that I would be targeting to pick up 3 points from. Got off to a bad start, though, and you're suddenly chasing your tail. You're trying to pick up that first win, get the monkey off your back. And the fixtures are gradually more difficult. This credit that Graham Alexander's got in the bank, I think a European exit followed by a ropey start to the league, and there's no way back for him. I really can't see how he turns this around. And I'm beginning to kind of side with the views of the previous owners that have parted company with Graham Alexander. I think that it's not all on results. It's just a general atmosphere and quality of performance that just lacks there. And it's going to turn people away from going. We've already got a small support. We can't be affording to be losing these supporters in any shape or form. As we've talked about, we had 7,000 Motherwell fans inside Fir Park on Thursday night. How many of those that are coming along for the first time in a while or coming along to test the waters as to what they could expect from Graham Alexander's Motherwell team will return? Very few, I would imagine, and can't really say I blame them.
No, you can't. Just going back to what you were talking about the previous owners, obviously, through Salford City, and Gary Neville has then come back and said, oh, it was a mistake sacking him. And I think that although I didn't pay too much attention to the football that's been played other than what I'd watched in the documentary, I kind of always have that at the back of my mind. And I think that's given me, oh, no, do you know what? we're doing all right, just keep them, keep them, keep them. But now, see with all the wee factors that add up about the poor recruitment, if we sat them through all these signings, I mean, if you look at the team on last Thursday night, Kelly, all right, he signed them, but initially it wasn't him that brought Liam Kelly to the club. McGinn, yeah, I'll give him that. Lamy and McGabby and Carroll, not his signing. Maguire are the ones that have performed better. The ones that he's signed, Effort, not good enough. Shields, not good enough. Slattery, I think, is a decent player. But can blow hot and cold. Van Veen is the pick of the bunch. But I don't think there's a signing that Graeme Alexander's made other than Van Veen that all the fans agree on. I don't think there's been a own success. You take into that Oyala, you take into Sondre Johansson. If you take away that he's a lovely guy, is he good enough? My opinion is he's not. That's why he was on the bench in Thursday night. So you've got to look at the recruitment. You've got to look at the performances, even when we were winning. When we done the review of the season, give us your favourite moment of the season. And it was, mine, I think, was against Aberdeen in the Cup. It was the only performance that I remembered actually being excited at the football. And that's not right. So all these things, I think that Graeme Alexander is a nice guy. But now, I think that a change in direction is what's needed. I think the majority of the feeling in the stadiums that we go to is negative. The performances just haven't been up to it. The recruitment, we can see where things are going wrong. Substitutions, I don't always agree with you. You're never always going to agree with substitutions as manager, with the manager. A wee tiny gripe that I have is that we never leave a man up the park for a corner, even when we need to get the ball up. The amount of times that the ball comes out for a corner and it's straight back in because we've got no, everybody is in the box. The non-plan B, the not willing to change for the 4-3-3 formation. And all these things added up only really comes to one conclusion. It'll not stop me going and supporting the team. And I'm not one for shouting at the manager to go. But for me, it's starting to really grind in me now. And going to the football isn't as enjoyable. One thing that we spoke about during COVID and stuff was like the effect, you know, going to the football has on your mental health. Now, I'm not saying that because Motherwell get beat, that people's suffer mental health problems as a result of football. But I'll tell you what, it's certainly put me in a downer for a few days. And that's not what you should be experiencing going to football. Yes, there's up and downs, but there just seems to be more downs than ups in the last year.
So how do we address this? We've obviously got the second leg in 3 days' time. It's another massive game. It was one that we hoped that we'd go into with a comfortable lead. Instead, we're going to be chasing. It's going to be tough. I noticed earlier on today that Sligo are now the favourites to go through into round three, which is quite a turnaround from what was expected. Especially after seeing them against Bala, I thought they were second best that night. They're quite fortunate to get through. They then lost their next league game as well. But they certainly fared much better at Fir Park and thoroughly deserved their win, it must be said as well. There's not going to be much changes to the team, you would have to imagine. You're hoping that an extra week will really aid the likes of Paul McGinn, Kevin Van Veen, to be closer to sharpness than they were in the first leg. Other than that, though, I'm struggling to see kind of anything dramatic that could be done that's going to wildly change their fortunes.
I'd be shocked if it's not the same starting 11. I just think it'll be the same. The only a couple of changes would be, would they bring O'Donnell in for for experience, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Is there a fallout? Is there a fitness, a wee niggle that we don't know about? And that's another gripe of the manager that we never ever really seem to know. And again, are we entitled to know? Probably not. But the kind of a dishonesty at press conferences just really pisses me off at times. Would they change Mugabe and put Sol in? Possibly, but I don't see anything else. Midfield, definitely. I'd be shocked if the midfield changed. Front three, I don't know. I just kind of see where it'll go. I would even consider, as I've said, 4-4-2, but he'll not do it. I've seen a few people saying a 4-3-1-2 with Tierney being in that. Again, I don't really think Tierney is good enough to start in a game in this magnitude. What I will say is that I still believe that we've got a good enough squad to go and beat a team that plays in the League of Ireland. And it's whether or not the management or whether the players are up for it. And if they are up for it, they'll go through. But part of my chain of thought about the manager is I feel as if we're only two, three games away from the next disaster and the next bout of negativity. If we get through, we're pumping fists and giving a positive interview. And then I feel as if we're only a kind of minutes away from the next disaster. Whether that be that you have another poor run in the league and we're back to square one. In reality, are we going to see Alan Burrows and the board make any decisions after the game on Thursday? If we're talking sake, saying we don't get through, I don't think they will. What's your opinion?
It's a really difficult one. I think that sacking the manager after a full pre-season. Now, I've obviously talked about the fact that we've only played these two friendlies and then the one competitive fixture so far, but that kind of change, while I think it's now necessary, I don't know how big an impact that would have on the players going into a new season.
The only thing it does is it gives a new manager the time to ship out and get some players in.
You would hope so. And the thing is that now the situations are such that I genuinely think that the manager and the playing style will start putting people off going to games. And if it starts to hit the club in the pocket, then I don't think there's any other alternative but to remove the manager from his duties and get a new face in. It's not an easy ask as well. You would hope that there would be those on the board just now kind of coming up with some sort of contingency plan to, should it be the case. I don't think if we get knocked out on Thursday night that there's any way that the manager can stay on. I think it'll be right up there with one of the worst results in the club's history to go out. There's no getting away from that. And with the kind of financial hit as well, and given the forum in 2022 so far, I just think it would be untenable. And I think he would need to go. Whether that does happen, though, I'm not so sure. It was only a couple of months ago that the manager was getting so many plaudits from those within the club for the achievement of finishing in fifth place. Yes, it was an impressive achievement. And yes, in the previous season, he kept us up when it looked like we were destined for a real relegation battle. But I think that goodwill is rapidly running out. And we only got to 45 minutes of the season before the team were being booed off the park. It's just, the atmosphere around the place is just really, really poor. It feels like the every bit of positivity has just been drained out of the supporters. I can't see how he can continue, but it's a massive, massive decision at the same time.
The mad thing is, though, if in the, I don't really think this is going to be possible, but on the other side of it, if we go out and put a good performance in against Sligo and Sparta, get a result against Viking, then I'll be 100% booting up and looking forward to a real European tour. I gambled to be, you know, going to Ireland. It wasn't as cheap as what I thought it was going to be, and I thought, well, maybe get a decent tie. And that, I mean, all this negativity, I suppose to an extent, will be brushed away because of the excitement. Going to, I wouldn't call him a European giant, but a kind of significant team that we're all well aware of, and the one that we would remember. I've kind of spoke to you recently about, I can remember the kind of similar excitement, obviously a big, far bigger team in Borussia Dortmund, and the performance level over there, but just being able to go there and watch your team playing to an extent. I know Levante, but it was still a La Liga team, and it was great to go and watch your team playing there. And for me, if it gets through on Thursday, it definitely papers over the cracks, and maybe it can get it turned around if we get the recruitment right, which probably makes my point so much so that I would say this is the biggest game of his career as Motherwell manager. I think it gives him that wee bit of a leeway that if we did have a kind of a poor start, then with a decent run in Europe, that we see players coming in, I think he would get that wee bit of time. But on the other hand, I agree with what you're saying. If the worst does happen, then I really just don't see it working out. And will he walk? I think he's too stubborn to do that. I don't think that would be how he would want to be remembered, as being the manager that could beat away a team for the League Ireland. But listen, I still think that, as I said, I think we will go through by hook or by crook. It's only 1-0. We've definitely got, I didn't see anything. I think we allowed them to get into the game. So I'm positive that we'll go through. Will remain, I don't know, thereafter, because I can see, unless we recruit much, much better and get another two or three players in, we'll just need to see what that brings.
Just on that, who is now in charge of the recruitment at the club? Because you also had Martin Foyle leaving. I assume that it's someone that worked with Graham Alexander at Salford, but I'm not aware of who does the recruitment now.
Yeah, I think it was a guy, Nick Dawes, that got the role. But again, I don't know a great deal about him at all. And I think that's another good point that's just come into my head, that removing the manager, where he seems now to be getting his own personnel in, with the likes of Keith Lasley and co, even Craig Kinchcliffe moving on. We've got his own head of recruitment. He's got Andy Dibble, who obviously knows well. He's got his own staff, so that comes at a cost as well. So that'll probably come into the thinking of the board when it comes to making decisions in relation to whether he's removed for his post or not.
Yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see how it pans out. We'll quickly touch on the league opener against St Mirren. It's obviously a lot depends on how Thursday goes, to how we'll then go into that one. The obvious talking point, though, mate, is the fact that they've got half a dozen ex-Motherwell players on their books, and I'm sure every one of them will be looking to make a point come game time on Sunday.
It certainly adds a wee bit of kind of bite to the game, although I think the majority of the players left in good terms, with the exception of kind of Richard Tate, who was always popular when he was here, but he seems to have, majority of the fans have got their own opinions of him now. The likes of Mark O'Hara and that, for me, never really, I thought he was a decent enough player, but it was neither up nor down that he had left. I think the big thing is obviously that it'll be the first time that it's ironic that Keith Lasley's first competitive league game's against Motherwell. And as we've all said, we wish him all the best. But when it comes to Sunday, we hope that he has a right shite day. But the one thing that I'm surprised about is that Grimshaw and Donnelly's now also turned up at St Mirren's door. And it's only really been O'Hara for the list that we released for the kind of Robinson era. It was also sad to hear that Trevor Carson appears to have a reoccurrence of the blood clot. He was always a popular figure at Firth Park, but seems to have had another bout of bad luck. As I said, none of the players that left, I would say really left in bad terms. We've got Charles Dunn, Mark O'Hara, Richard Tate, Curtis Main, I suppose a wee bit, but I'm probably missing a couple. Coupled up with obviously Steve Robinson and Keith Lasley. But they've not had a great start to the season either. So when they put that in context, if you look at teams like St Mirren, St Johnstone, Hibs, who have Kilmarnock haven't really had a great start from what I've seen, they're in this kind of similar boat to us. It's just that it's obviously the League Cup and we're kind of representing our country where we're making arse ourselves.
Yeah, very true. I suppose that takes me on nicely to what is the last real talking point for tonight. The Premier Sports Cup draw was made yesterday, a home tie against Inverness that will be played a midweek night. I think it's Wednesday the 30th of August or Wednesday the 29th, one of the two. Home draw is exactly what you're after. We've avoided any of the bigger names, albeit we were a seed in the draw. So I think there's only a few Premier League teams we could have come up against. Got to be relatively happy with a home tie against a Championship side, mate. But at the same time, we've kind of got a cropper to Inverness in a couple of times when it comes to the cup competitions.
No, we have, but you hit the nail on the head. I would have taken any of the unseeded teams at home. The important thing for me was we came out of the hat as a home team, and that's what happened. It didn't really bother me who we got thereafter, because I felt as if, even though my confidence levels are down, I still think that by the time that comes round, it will be maybe not firing on all cylinders, but we should have enough in our arsenal to get through that game. And who knows what the next round would bring. There's a couple of ties that teams that you would, if you got them at Firth Park, then you would be, you're get a nice wee cup run on the go. And that's me trying to put a positive spin toward the end of it. But the Inverness, we don't really know a great deal about them. Obviously, they were in the playoffs. Their kind of standout player was the ex-Motherwell player, for Norwich. It was on loan. He's no longer there. So you'd feel expected to still go and win, and I was happy with the draw. I know a lot of people maybe wanted a wee would have preferred it, you know, a wee trip up to Inverness or a wee trip to Annan or something like that. But as I said, a home tie for me is what we were looking for, and we got it.
I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, and I hope after our next discussion, we are all eating humble pie and saying how good a manager Graeme Alexander is, and we were all wrong. Will that happen? Who knows?
It's certainly not going to, my opinion's not going to change in the next week. There's a few more things that need to be done before that happens, but it's certainly, the positivity train will be back on if we can get a result on Thursday that takes us through. And then before you know it, you're checking down in the Czech Republic, mate, and life is good again. But I think it's a difficult one after a defeat on that scale. As you say, it's one that kind of sat with me for 2 or 3 days after it as well. It was a kick where it hurts, but we have to kind of dust ourselves down and hopefully come back from Ireland with a positive result that sees us through.
I just one final thing. I mean, that's another reason why I was gutted that we were. We looked as if we weren't going to Prague. Is it kind of a priced it, and the easiest way for me to get there turned out that it was Monday to Friday and an overnight in Amsterdam, which my wife had agreed to. So looks as if the goodwill is. She must have knew that there's no chances is getting through. That's why she agreed to a Monday to Friday for a game in a Wednesday night.
Well, let's see, we're not out yet. Fingers crossed, team can go over and do the business Thursday night, and then we'll come back a lot happier before then going on to Paisley and hopefully not making an arse out there. But thanks very much again, mate.
Cheers, mate, thanks.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in a week's time. Until then, thank you, goodbye.
And skins and journeymen. Hey, yay, hey, yay. My sisters and my brethren. The time is coming near. Come, yay, come, yay. To soulless corporate circus stops. Come, yay, come, yay. To toilet circuit touring stops. Come, yay. To bedrooms, bars and bunker spots. The sound. It was rock and roll. Something so simple, something so small. Who'd have thought? After all, it's rock and roll.